Blog Talk Radio.
Other ways of interpreting it, and I would suspect that Barry Manilow, when he writes his songs, he channels them to a certain degree. yes, you're right. It's a song for every mother that gets their kids 18. Absolutely. Last week we were talking a lot about understanding, you know, higher consciousness, lower consciousness. How do you tell? Which one you're coming from at any particular point in time, and one of the guidelines that I use that help me to determine where I'm coming from, especially when I'm involved in a spiritual conversation or if I'm doing something like a reading or something like that. If you hear yourself saying, I think, you're in your consciousness, you're in your physical part of your brain, you're in your lower consciousness. You're trying to analyze a situation. If you hear yourself saying, I feel this or I feel that, it means you are more in your intuitive side and you're getting your energy, your information from a higher source of consciousness. So I just thought I'd toss that out there for you to sort of give you some way of determining where the heck you're coming from at any one particular point in time. If you're doing stuff that requires analyzing and stuff like that, you should be in I think. But if you're trying to share impressions you're getting from the other side to someone else, then it should be the feeling part of you that is in action, the feeling part of you that is actually putting forth the energy. So it's really, really important that you sort of understand that you should take a look at how you're saying things to people when you're working with them, because you want to give them the best quality you've got. And you may have the and of course, if they're asking you a financial problem or something like that, and you have that kind of expertise, you better be thinking. But if they're asking you an emotional issue, or if they're asking you to tune in for something, you should be feeling. You should be getting feelings. You should be inspired to some degree. And so it's important that you make that determination and you sort of take a look at it and give yourself just a quick check every now and then. What am I saying and how am I saying it? Am I giving this person from my higher consciousness? Am I feeling this information? Is this information flowing through me without a thought process going on? Or am I thinking this is the right thing to say? So you have to understand that you want to make sure that your best comes from what you feel. It is the most important, the most spiritually oriented and inspired. And sometimes I have found, especially in doing readings, that I will stand back and I'll say, I have to tell you, this is my personal opinion, but this is what I'm getting. And it doesn't necessarily go along with my personal opinion, but it's probably the better direction for you to listen to, but I want to give you both just in case. And people appreciate that. People like the fact that you do give them both, because sometimes good classic advice is even better than, a spiritual answer that, while it's probably more appropriate, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the most logical for that person. So so that's my hint for the day. I wanted to look into the laws again one more time, because they're so important for all of us. And it's really important that we all are aware of the fact that they are there and present and are working 100% of the time. And we can't suspend any of them. They are just constantly there. It's not Big Brother is watching as much as these are the cogs and the wheels that are at work within our universe. And they have they don't play favorites. They don't favor one race or sex over the other. It's an if this, then this. These are the laws that are going on. And you have to understand that they are there and that they take effect as soon as we take an action of any sort. And we can't just sit still and freeze time, because, first of all, time doesn't exist on the other side. Time is just something man-made so he could know when to eat his meals. No, probably so he knew when to plant his crops, I guess. But anyhow, the law of one really explains a great deal to all of us. And it sounds so simple, and yet I don't think all of us totally grasp it. And the law of one means that we all come from the same source and we are all connected. So that it's not so much that the important thing is to understand that we are part of one another. So if you do something to someone else, you in essence are doing it to yourself. So it's really important to understand that we are all a part of each other and a part of the trees and a part of the animals, and we all came from the same source of creation. So we are all a part. We are all connected. We are all together in this. And we are all hopefully flowing towards a destiny pathway that will take us into even greater oneness and greater connection. And when you understand the law of one, then you accept your own divinity and you start listening to your intuition and become a co-creator in your own life. Everything is connected to everything else. What we think, what we say, what we do, what we believe will have a corresponding effect on others and the world around us, so that we are not individuals totally. Yes, our personalities are different, but down at the core, we are all connected. We are all alike. And so that it's really important that you understand that, grasp it, and understand that because we are in a physical form at this particular point in time and creation and whatever, our spirits are still connected. We aren't disconnected just because we have different bodies we're walking around in. The spirits are still connected. There's still a synchronicity there. And because of that synchronicity, what you do to someone has an effect on you. We are, you know, you can't get away scot-free. The universe doesn't allow that. It's these universal laws. It's sort of like, if you do something, if you take an action, there is a reaction which becomes an action and causes another reaction. And it's the domino effect. So that understand that, you know, and again, the Indians have it, and I think we figured out which Indian tribe it was, and I forget. But they have a seven-generation rule. You have to be able to prove that for seven generations, the action you want to take will not affect in a negative way the tribe or the people in the tribe. And if every action that we took, you know, major action, I'm not talking about, you know, changing your wardrobe or something like that, although changing your wardrobe could affect lots of different aspects of society, economically speaking, right down the gamut. So I think we have to understand this. We are connected. We are one. And as that, there is responsibility to each other. And in many ways, yes, we are our brother's keeper because our brother is ourself. So it's very, very important that we maintain and remember that connection. I'm going to go through and pick out some of these laws and talk about them just briefly because I think it's exciting. The universal law of vibrational attainment, it talks about energy, and energy can't die. It can transform, reincarnate, but it can't be destroyed, and it can't stand still. Energy is constantly evolving. It's constantly growing. It's constantly moving, and it's really, really important that we understand that we are energy, we can't stand still. It's impossible for us to stand still. The heart keeps going. We keep breathing. There is constant motion. And so trying to maintain status quo is fruitless. It can't happen because there is always change. We are always growing. And it's important to understand that because of that, change is something that we should embrace, and we should, you know, it's wonderful, and we should reach out for it, and we should be grateful for it, because it means that another moment has passed and there is more coming here. Law of free will, a good one, a real good one. Lots of people throw it around, you know, I have free will, I can do whatever I want. Sure you can. Only trouble is free will has its consequences, and you know, it's sort of like, yes, it's free will. You can take action. You have the power to do that. But understand that every action you take will have a reaction to it. We are required to be responsible for our actions. And if there are consequences, we are responsible for those consequences. You know, most of the major events in our life are astrologically predestined, but you have the free will to change the way that event impacts your life, and it's in perception, it's in how you perceive things, it's in how you are living your life, it's how you are perceiving and accepting or embracing things. So you have control over how you receive the results of your actions. You always have free will in how you respond to any given situation. And if you respond to situations with positive emotions and compassion and integrity, you've probably learned that you will get the same thing back in return down the line. Sometimes it's not as soon as some people would like, but it does happen and it does come that way. I want to look at the law of reflection as well, and this is one of my favorites also. And the law of reflection says that the traits you respond to in others, you recognize in yourself, both positive and negative. So do understand that you know, when you sit in judgment of another person, you see something in them that you're not really thrilled with, or that you are judgmental about. That aspect is probably within you as well. The universe is constantly putting a mirror up in front of us, and it's constantly saying, take a look at this. Do you recognize something? Is this something you want to change? Is this something you want to alter? And I think most of us don't always recognize the fact that what we're seeing, what we're perceiving, and what we're recognizing in other people is a quality that we have within ourselves. Now, have we worked on it so that it isn't quite as obvious as theirs, or the reason that we're seeing it quite possibly means we have work yet to do? And it also means that, you know, what you admire in others, you recognize as existing within yourself, but you have to understand that the other thing goes, the opposite also applies, and that which you resist and react strongly to in others is sure to be found within yourself. So when you see things go, and it doesn't mean that they're always active, you see somebody stealing and you recognize it as theft, and, you know, you're offended by it and you react to it, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are stealing from someone as well. However, and it's a big however, it does not necessarily need to be a literal translation. You see someone killing someone and you're offended by it, and you think, I would never kill someone. But the reality is, maybe you wouldn't take a life, but you might just have killed someone's dreams. And in doing that, it's the same as killing somebody. You have taken something away from them. So do understand that there are lots of different levels of and ways of interpreting all of the commandments and all of the laws. Understand that killing someone's dream, or killing someone's hope, or killing or smashing somebody's dreams is just as bad as pulling a trigger and taking their life away from them, because you have in many ways taken from them their purpose for life at that moment in time. It's very important that you recognize that, and it's very important that you never do that to somebody's dreams, because dreams are reality waiting to happen and waiting to be manifest. And you have no idea what that person has charted. So you have no idea as to whether or not those dreams, those wishes, those hopes are possible or not for that particular spirit at that particular time. you can shake your head and say, good luck. But you have to understand that it's precious, those dreams and wishes that some people have, and sometimes that's all they have for a whole lifetime. So it's important that we take the law of reflection and the other laws very, very seriously and work ourselves around them, because it's important that we understand that what we do, what we say, how we say it, and how we perceive it is crucial at this particular point in time. And I think I could probably say that at any point in time, because humanity is always going through a phoenix rising experience. Humanity is always going through shifts and changes, discovering new things about themselves and judging each other and other political parties and other nations and things like that, instead of trying to compromise, instead of trying to work together, instead of trying to heal. We seem to constantly be trying to prove that we're stronger than another or something like that. And let's face it, as individuals, there is always going to be somebody who is better than us and somebody who is worse than us. It's just the way it works. But we need each other, and we really need each other, because we create a whole. All of us together create a whole. If a part of us, if one or two of us decides to walk off over the horizon and not be one with everybody else, we're incomplete. So that it's important we learn to get along. That doesn't mean you have to always like everybody, but that element of love there has, you know, is crucial. It's imperative. And so we are, you know, we are definitely part of a greater whole, and I think that we have to understand that. The law of universal magnetic affinities, big words, but it basically is, by astrologically choosing the time and place of your birth, you determine the nature or the effects you will experience in your life. On the other side, before you're born, you make decisions about the lifetime that you're going to be coming into. You choose your parents, other souls to interact with you, the astrological configurations at your birth, which determine your character, personality, abilities, restrictions, and timing for strengths and weaknesses. Now, I think it's really important that you understand that who you are, what you are right at this moment in time, was determined by your spirit on the other side before it incarnated into this lifetime. But that's not really who you are. It's who you are this lifetime. But when you go back to the other side, you leave character and personality and abilities and restrictions and all of that. You leave that here. Now, your personality for a while does hang on the other side, because it's a way of identifying you with people who you know, your family members and stuff like that. It's a way of identifying yourself to this side if you have to come, if you want to come back and say, hi, I'm okay, don't worry about me. But it's important that you understand that your personality that you have on this planet this time, this is unique to this lifetime. And those people who say, I'm done, I'm not going to incarnate anymore, I'm finished, I'm perfect, you can't argue with them. You have to say, of course you are. But the reality is, that personality is not coming back here. So in a way, they're right. But their soul, that eternal part of them, is most probably coming back a lot more times. So that you know, you sometimes wonder, you know, how could I have possibly chosen all of this? This is ridiculous. I must have been out of my mind. No, you weren't out of your mind, but you were looking at a bigger picture. You were looking at at what your soul needed in order to grow and evolve and expand. You were looking for you asked for lessons and situations to be given to you so that you could expand. And so that's what happened. You put it down. You checked that box. And so that's what happened. You came into this lifetime, and now you're meeting those challenges, but you're meeting it with a consciousness that wasn't aware of the choices that you made before. So you know, there have been times in my life when I looked around, I said, "Oh no, I could not possibly have chosen this. This is too obscene, or strange, or weird, or whatever." But the reality is, it's how we are reacting to those situations that is giving the soul the capacity to grow and to learn and to stretch. So it's important that we have these circumstances that come into our lives that seem so bizarre and strange and wonderful. In retrospect, they're wonderful. Usually when you go through them, they aren't so much fun at all. But it's something that we chose. We sat on the other side, peaceful and serene, surrounded by unconditional love, saying, "I want to go back and work on some more stuff. And this is what I want to work on. And so give me the situation so that I can strive to become even better, even greater in light, even, you know, whatever it is." And so that's exactly what happened. You incarnated, you grew, you had situations, and you're experiencing them, and you're still experiencing them. But if you understand the laws, if you understand all of them, even the strange ones, even the kind of silly ones, and you understand how they are impacting your life, you can easily sort of deflect some of the bang, so to speak, when some of these hit you in the face, because you can understand that this is a lesson, this is something that is challenging me, this is something that spirit inside of me needs to grow. I don't know why, but, you know, I won't pick this one again. But the reality is, it's something that we need to know how to do, and we need to experience, and so we experience it. But it's not a forever, and it's how we perceive it that alters how difficult it becomes. If suddenly everything comes crashing down, your footman runs off with all of the family jewels and you are left penniless on the street with nothing but a couple of 3-carat diamonds and a mink coat, you can either perceive it as, "Well, damn," or, "I can sell the coat, I can sell the diamonds, and I can start again." Either way, you know, you're dealing with the same situation, but it's how you perceive it. It's sort of like you can either have sour lemons or you can make lemonade. It's how you look at what comes your way that determines how impactful and hurtful sometimes the lessons are. And if you understand that every situation that comes your way, even though it seems uncomfortable at first, if you step back and you say, "Okay, what am I learning from this? How can I grow from this?" In the last, gosh, let's see, this is July. In the last couple of months, I had a tough situation that was a tad overwhelming. And you know, I'm just as human as everybody else is, and I yelled and screamed and I called people names and stuff like that. But then I sat back and I said, "Okay, what is there here that I have to learn? And how can I grow from it? And how can I make sure this doesn't happen again?" And, you know, the more I worked on it and said, you know, and said to myself, "How did this happen? How did I bring this on? How did this happen, and how did I cause it in some way? Because I had to have been responsible partially." And then, okay, if that's the case, I know what not to do again. And so what am I learning from this? What is my lesson? What are the issues that I need to take home and pay attention to next time? And so the more I did that kind of work, the more the situation didn't seem quite so ominous. And it lessened tremendously what I experienced, because I recognized there was a lesson there. And this doesn't always happen, you know, I don't always catch the lessons immediately. I don't think anybody does, but as quick as you can catch it and say, okay, I'm learning something from this. There's something here for me to grow from. And it's not a don't do this. It's a somebody took advantage of me, and the lesson for me was I gave my power away. And so it was not don't let someone take advantage of me. It was don't give your power away, dummy. And so, you know, it's not really a negative you learn exactly. It's take responsibility for your own stuff. Keep your own power. If you need to learn something, learn it. But don't give it to somebody else. Don't give away your power. And so when those lessons come up to you, no matter what they are, and you know, anytime you're struggling, anytime there's pain, anytime there's discomfort, anytime you're kind of antsy because something isn't going right in your life, step back and say, okay, what should I be learning from this, and how can I perceive it so that it isn't as impactful as it feels right now. And you know, there are times and there are situations where you have to have a good cry, where you have to really, you know, get it out, let it out, and then move on with life and take a look at it. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, you become cold and callous, because that's definitely not what people on a spiritual pathway should be. But I am saying that your perception of everything that comes to you in your lifetime, how you perceive it, determines whether it's going to be a difficult situation or an easy one. You know, you don't laugh at any of this. You have to grow. That's why we're here. But you can grow with gentle humor, and you can grow with insight, and you can grow in lots of different ways. Rather than if you choose to ignore a lesson, I guarantee it comes back to you. I promise you, it comes back to you. So that it's important that everybody understand that you know, you kind of want to deal with it the first time if you can, and the only place that I can at least from personal experience give you an illustration of that is that I had three men in my life that you know it was the same person, just in a different guys to a certain extent, and until I learned to deal with the situation that they brought into a relationship, I wasn't able to move forward into a better relationship. So that it's sort of like, okay, this is a lesson, and every little lesson, if perceived appropriately and dealt with emotionally and with love, you stop the lesson there, and it doesn't get a chance to grow and multiply and multiply and multiply. And I think that's one of the other very important things about all these laws, because if you understand them, if you are sort of embracing them, then things move more easily, and they are more joyful, and life is really cool. I'm not saying there aren't going to always be difficulties, because, you know, if you weren't having any difficulties, I'd think you were down here on vacation and you should be someplace else. The law of faith is a real good one. It's very simple. If you have total faith in an outcome, it'll come about. To the extent that you doubt, you allow, you know, absolute, implicit, total, you know, you... No, to the extent that you doubt, you allow absolute, implicit, total trust in the divine. You know that whatever is for the greatest good will happen. Faith takes away fear. Faith means constantly listening to your inner guidance and intuition. And blind faith implies giving away your trust without a foundation for it. We don't do that. Blind faith is merely hope. I'm going to say that again. Blind faith is merely hope. There has to be a foundation. But if you have a foundation of self-esteem and worth, you'll be an easy person to be around. But faith is the foundation for success, manifestation, prayer. When you have faith in a vision, it'll succeed, and faith is the greatest power there is. It's because of faith that miracles happen. And I think it's important that everybody understand that, because we tend to not have faith in a lot of things, and it's really important that we kind of bring it on home and have that faith. There's also the law of vibration, and that's a cool one too. So everything is matter, and everything vibrates, and they have a resonance. And that old thing about like attracts life, it's absolutely true. You do attract things, energies that are like you. It happens with friendships, it happens with relationships. And if you have a relationship that doesn't feel right, take a look at what's going on and change yourself. Because as soon as you change yourself, the other person has to change as well, or they won't be able to communicate with you. All of these laws are saying, you know, exactly the same thing. It's basically up to you. The law of action is an amazing law as well. We take actions and things happen. You kind of put that right alongside the law of cause and effect. You have to take action. It's up to you. It's thought. Thought creates action. So that we engage in actions that support our thoughts and our dreams, our emotions and our word. And the law of action states that you must do the things and perform the actions necessary to achieve what you're setting out to do. You can't think it. You can't just sit there and think over and over and over and over again something and expect it to happen. If you don't take action, nothing will happen. And you can't blame the universe if nothing's happening if you're not taking action. And sometimes we sabotage ourselves because we take actions that we know won't have the results we want, but we'll be able to say, I tried. And some of us do it, and some of us sabotage ourselves on purpose. And it's important for you to understand that sometimes when you say, I've tried everything I can think of, I've done everything I can think of, and nothing has worked, well, then you need to take a look at your actions, and you need to see if those actions really were anticipated to get you what you feel you need, want, or should have. Very often, people don't make changes in themselves because they're afraid of succeeding. And sometimes the fear of success can freeze you in a place where it's very uncomfortable. It's very, very hard to sometimes take that leap of faith and go the extra mile or do whatever, you know, whatever you feel will open the doors to the things that you want to bring into your life. Life is an amazing adventure. It truly is. And it's full of all sorts of nuances and surprises that are profound and exciting. But you have to be willing to be ready for those to come into your life. You have to be willing for change to take place. And so long as you're willing for change to take place, then magic can absolutely happen. If you move towards changing, then change will happen. But the universe puts all that into flow. But you have to take that first step. You have the obligation of taking the first step. Law of correspondence. This is a cool one. You know, this is the as above, so below; as within, so without; whatever is above is like that which is below, whatever is below is that. There is a correspondence here. There's a direct correspondence between the way you think and feel on the inside and the way you act and experience on the outside. So take a look at how you react. Take a look at how you are touching your reality. Take a look at how you are putting yourself out there, because that's a direct reflection of what's going on inside. If you are quiet and afraid to speak, then inside there is a timidity that you know you need to work with, you need to work on, so that there's a lot of understanding of what you are expressing in your reality is truly what you are inside. You know, what you see is what you get. And that's probably a better way of saying law of correspondence, the law of cause and effect. We've talked about what you reap, you sow. What you put out, you bring back. Every thought of intention, action, and emotion that is transmitted from you brings something back. The vibratory energy returns to the original source upon the swing of the pendulum, so to speak. It's not always exact. It doesn't always happen, at the flip of a switch, but it does always return to you. And what you do, especially those things that you do out of unconditional love, the giving without expecting anything in return. I think who it was... I think it was Chris that said one time that she received gifts with unconditional love. She received gifts unconditionally, and that meant that she didn't owe you anything. I think she put it very strongly, and yet that's a good way to receive. She made it very obvious that she doesn't feel an obligation if someone gives her a gift. And there should not be an obligation. Many people give gifts and there is an anticipation of, I gave you such and such and you never gave me anything back. I sent you a card, you never sent me a card. I call you all the time, you never call me. There's always a condition or there's always something attached to even actions as simple as phone calls and things like that. We have to understand that unconditional is unconditional, and sometimes it's very hard to be unconditional. But I was doing the law of cause and effect here. You know, it is perception as well. If you are giving somebody something with the anticipation of getting a favor back, chances are you're not going to get the favor back because your intention was not, I guess, pure is the best way to call it. But the law of cause and effect works profoundly well, and if you set something in motion, it's going to come back at you. If you lie about something, it does come back at you eventually. If you take advantage of someone, then probably down the line, it's going to hit back at you. There are a lot of these laws floating around all the time, and those of us in the fields, those of us in the spiritual field that aren't aware of these laws, really. And how they apply to our lives, because we should be living examples of these laws. We should be a living example of the lessons that we try to teach when we do readings or when we do workshops or when we share. We should be an example of what it is we're teaching. And there isn't a reader out there that isn't a teacher as well. Every time someone comes to anybody else for advice, for wisdom, for encouragement, for whatever, what you give out has to be, and again, the word pure comes to mind, so that your intent has to be to help, to heal, to soothe, to give wisdom, to give advice, to give truth, but not to expect something in return. That's I think one of the hardest. That's one of the hardest things for a lot of people, because sometimes you kind of want feedback. And feedback is a return too, so that I know when I get feedback, I kind of it makes me very happy to know that you know what I did worked, or it helped, or in some way impacted a person's life. The what's the other one? The law of polarity. I love the law of rhythm. There's a rhythm in the universe. There's an absolute rhythm in the universe, and everything moves and vibrates to certain rhythms, and these rhythms establish seasons, they cycle stages of development, patterns, and there is a it all is this, you know, each cycle reflects the regularity of God's universe, and so everything flows. There's an out and there's an in. There are tides. There's a rise and a fall. It's a pendulum swinging. I mean, this law of rhythm states that the energy in the universe is like a pendulum. Whenever something goes to the right, it has to swing back to the left. That means good times and bad. That means richness and poorness. That means light and dark. There the rhythms are there, and if we are aware of the rhythm, if we are aware of our part within the rhythm, then we have a better understanding of how life is going to go, and how we are going, you know, what we are going to experience. There are times in my life where things are very, very quiet and very serene almost. And I know that given a period of time, and the secret is I don't know what that period of time is, then there's going to be a period of time when everything is so crazy I can't catch my breath. And then there will be times in which there is great calmness. There are times when the phone never stops ringing, and then there are times when I pick it up to make sure it's still working. There are times when there's so much going on within my circle of friends that I have and stuff like that you just wonder, oh my God, is it ever going to calm down? And then there are times when everybody is just, you know, kind of twiddling their thumbs, I have nothing to do. Do you know of a good book and stuff like that? So there's a lot of stuff going on. And if you understand these cycles, it's very important that you're able to flow more easily with them. You know, you're certainly, you know, aware of the flow of the summer to winter and things like that, but everything has a cycle, everything has a rhythm, everything has a pattern, and nothing is random. So the law of rhythm also governs the economy, our health, relationships, and spirituality. So understand that. And then it's how you perceive it. See, I perceive that I am still in the spring of my flow here. My age may not reflect that, but I perceive myself as just getting into the springtime of a time of growth in which everything is just new to me, and everything is growing, and everything is exceptionally wonderful and joyful. And so it's our perception too of the cycles that we are in, and again that perception, that ability to perceive what's going on. And then we have the law of attraction again, and we've been through the law of attraction before. Law of attraction does say that what you put out there is what you draw into yourself. You attract exactly what you are and where you are, and can we attract things into our life? Of course we can. We can put it out there. We can work, but putting out there that I want X or something or Y or Z in my life isn't enough. I have to work for it. I have to go through the process of bringing it into my reality, of manifesting it within my reality. You can't just stick a picture of Brad Pitt on your vision board and expect him to be at the door the next day with flowers and champagne. Ain't going to happen, girls. Would be nice, but ain't going to happen. The reality is that putting it out there is part of it, absolutely. But working towards it is the part that they don't tell you about. Changing your perception of your reality, changing how you are managing things within your life, looking for ways to bring greater abundance into your reality so you can afford the things that you would like to have. All of those are part of working with the law of attraction. You have to understand that if you sit on a silver platter, the only thing that's going to happen is your bloomers are going to get tarnished, because nothing's going to happen. It's how you know we can do anything, but we have to be able and willing to work for it. And I'm not just saying, go to work and come home and put the paycheck in the bank. I'm saying seriously take a look at what we're doing for work. Is this something that's joyful? Can I find something that would be more joyful for me to do? Can I put my energy out there, 100% and not just half? Can I find a passion in life that will make me richer on the side so that I'm more joyful in all aspects of my life that will bring greater abundance into my world? I mean, we are responsible. We are totally responsible for our lives. And we should not be angry or mean-spirited because this is what we asked for. So this is what we work for, and we work to change, and we work to expand, and we work to grow, and we work to, be abundant. I can't tell you, money doesn't mean anything if there isn't joy in your life. It doesn't. And joy and good health, you are richer than a lot of millionaires out there. I'm gonna open some phone lines here, and don't hang up, you people that have called, because I want to get kind of your opinions of all of this. I want to hear what you guys have to say, because it's really important. And I've done a lot of talking here. And the reality is that all of these laws and all of these philosophies have to be applied. And how do you guys feel about this? How do you feel about the fact that there are all these laws out there, but they absolutely will help to make you a richer person and give you a better life? So we got Texas Pearl here. Hi there. Hi, how do you feel about all this?
Actually, I can't unmute right now. I'm traveling in my car. I didn't want to miss the show.
Okay. Well, then please drive and don't talk.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Linda, you're on. Hi, Linda. How's it going?
Hi, Barbara. Real good. How are you doing?
Doing well. So how do these laws, how does it feel? Now, you must have known about a lot of these laws before I sent out my lists and stuff.
Some of them, there was a lot more than I realized.
I was pretty surprised. So was I. Actually, I stopped at about 38. I said, that's enough, but there are still more.
I haven't even finished going through it, really.
Well, what was the, and I can almost guess, but which law did you know about the most?
Oh, the law of attraction, of course.
Were you aware that it wasn't as easy as it made it out to be in the movie?
Oh, no, Brad Pitt's been here a couple times already.
That's why he's not at my door, obviously.
That's right. I wondered, like everyone else, I'm sure, what am I doing wrong? Mm-hmm. Was to just believe. And I really think a lot of it, too, is faith. You really need, we say we have faith, but
yeah, and
faith is a lot deeper than you realize.
It truly is, and you can say, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, and then a part of you says, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, I think I believe I'm going to meet all my bills, and then these new ones come in and say, wait a minute.
Yes.
You know, things were supposed to be hunky-dory.
Yeah. No, it does make it, I mean, life is a challenge. That's why we're here. That's why we chose to be here. And I think the law of attraction was wonderful because it made people start thinking about this stuff. But it didn't go far enough as far as I'm concerned, because you really have to work towards these goals. You can't just put them on a vision board and have them happen.
Right.
And it would be nice, but I don't think the universe works that way.
No.
And you know, if I think the one thing about the universal laws that to me is amazing is that they don't wait and then crank into working and then they stop for a while and then they crank into working. They are constantly out there and they are constantly at work within our lives. And lots of times when things don't feel like they're working for us, we kind of think, you know, uh-oh, have I done something wrong? And it's not necessarily that we've done something wrong. It's that we haven't really committed ourselves wholeheartedly to a process that's going on. I know that I do the same thing with bills, too. And there are times when bills come in that I had forgotten about or I had not paid attention to. And, you know, the lesson there is you better pay more attention to where your money's going because it's going.
and
you want to make sure there's enough coming in. It's sort of like, okay, wake up. There's a wake-up call here. And it doesn't mean that things are going to fall apart. It just means there's a wake-up call. Be more aware. And possibly don't do, for me, don't do quite so much retail therapy. there may be other ways. But law of attraction is a cool one, and they certainly made it famous. But the law of cause and effect is really quite profound as well because, you know, for everything that we do, there is going to be, a corresponding reaction to, and it's sort of like, if I buy the big color TV I want, then I won't be able to eat next month, you know, that kind of stuff. But often we don't think about, you know, the other part of it. We just, you know, we think, you know, something will come up and it'll all work out. And it does. It just doesn't always work out the way we kind of want it to. How about though that other law about the fact that you choose everything before you come down here? I kind of was fascinated with that. You know.
Yeah. You really wonder about that. Why did I choose this? Or how? What was I thinking?
But you got to understand it wasn't you, your personality now, that made that choice. It was the spirit in you that made that choice. The spirit wanted this sex, this personality, these planets in this particular formation so that these kind of situations would be there, you know. It was all chosen so that the spirit would get an experience, and it had nothing to do with you as a person, because you're only the vehicle. Our personalities, this is where things get complicated. Our personality, our sex, our spirituality, all of that are unique unto this lifetime. And hopefully some of the spiritual things that we are learning and expanding into will come back with us the next time or time after or whatever. But how we respond to situations gives information to the spirit within, and that's what goes on lifetime to lifetime. not the fact that you know, we've screwed up with the same mistake 12 million times and we finally got the message. That's not what's taken on to the next lifetime. That's why sometimes this lifetime is so important, and yet what we think is really important is not really the crucial part of the lifetime. Sometimes the spirit needs to understand the consequences of the actions on an emotional level, and therefore we go through horrendous hurt and things like that, and there's great compassion and empathy that is gathered at that lifetime, at that particular time. And that's what's taken into the next lifetime, the understanding, the compassion, the empathy. And so it isn't so much the situations that we go through, it is how we go through them and how we perceive them that teach the spirit uses to expand its whatever. So,
well, I think
what
you said earlier too about the when things seem to repeat or keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the learning things that this is my weak spot that I need to develop or figure out.
Well, you know, and you know, I prefer, you know, I don't call them my weak spots. I say these are where my lessons are coming. And it's only because as a teacher I'd rather say these are my lessons instead of this is what I need to work on. it's just a matter of perception here. But yeah, and you know, it's if you find things happening, you know, consistently in a pattern or the same kind of thing coming at you over and over and over again, those are areas that you need to have a greater understanding of, you need to take a look at, and you need to see what is it that would stop this from happening again. And
right.
In some cases, in the case of especially relationships, what is it about me that attracts people into my life that are not kind or that are not giving or that or whatever? And when you take a look at the kind of people you have been attracting, and you understand what it is how they impact you, you have an idea as to, you know, all right, maybe I need to stand up for myself more. Maybe I need to speak out more. Maybe I need to not allow people to tell me what to do. Maybe I, you know, whatever it is. And then you work on yourself to make yourself stronger in those particular aspects. I'm 70, and for a great deal of my life, I always gave my power away, you know. And then I discovered that didn't work well. It took me a long time. But it's embarrassing how long it took. But once I understood that when I gave my power away, I ended up hurt, I figured, no, we don't do this anymore. And I basically said to the universe, I am no longer receiving applications from people who want to take my power away, so don't send them. and you can spot them. And I basically would say, you know, out loud to the universe, oops, she let one slip through, take it back. No, not going there, not this time. And then I found that once I think the universe, I talk to the universe as kind of a person. And I know the universe is not a person, but I address it that way. And it's sort of like, you know, I would really like, you know, what I want in my life is this, 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 and this. Anyone else need not apply. And, you know, it was really funny because when I was that definite and that absolute, and I didn't give, you know, physical features and stuff like that, but qualities. And damned if it didn't happen within 6 months.
Wow.
And it was just amazing. And it was like, huh. Now I have to think, did I really want this? what the hell, you know, I put the order in, I might as well take it, and it turned out to be magical and beautiful. But the reality was I had to really take a look at what was wrong with me. And there was something wrong with me. And it wasn't that it was wrong, it underdeveloped. Better word. It was underdeveloped in me. And once I let it grow up, it stood up for me. And I think that there are a lot of us that are like that. There are situations that I am not comfortable with. I hate being on television. I love being on the radio. And so there was a while there where I would tell people I was really afraid of large audiences. And every time I did something, there was a larger audience, and they got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I realized that all I needed to do was say, I really like big audiences. But the fear went away. And that was really cool. So, you know, and I just said I hated TV, but I only hate TV because I don't like the way I look, but I like the way I sound. So radio is my medium. I really like the radio. And so this is where I have fun. This is where I, you know, I have fun. But it's sort of you, whatever you fear, you are going to attract to you. So when you understand that, it's that law of reflection. What you fear, you attract to you. So once you understand that you know you're coming up, this is a situation I'm really uncomfortable in. Well, damn, what is so bad about it? And when you can't find anything bad about it, then you look at it and say, all right, this isn't my favorite, but this isn't that bad. And, you know, I think the very first time I had to get in the pulpit, I was terrified. And I finally stood there and looked in the mirror and said, this is stupid. You've made a fool of yourself in front of bigger groups than this. And and I had. And you know, I went out and had a good time. Those things we fear, we draw to us. And once you understand that a situation is fearful for you, you step back and you take a look and say, okay, I'm afraid of this. Why am I afraid of this? What is the big deal? And if you can't find a big deal, then you find a way of getting around it. Not doing it, but confronting it and saying, you know, I'll find another way of dealing with this, but I'm not going to be afraid of this. This is ridiculous. I'm here to have fun, and this is not fun for me, so let's make it fun. And you know what? It works. It's just the most amazing thing you've ever, you know, once you're in control of the situation, it's not bad at all. What is something you fear, Linda, that you can share?
Oh, I've been needing to ask for a raise, and I've been dwelling on it for the past 4 or 5 weeks. And every time the situation arises, I back down and I don't.
What's the absolute worst thing that can happen?
She can say no.
Uh-huh. That's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah, well, and she can say that maybe I've got a good situation here. I should be happy with the way it is.
Well, and you can say you're very happy, but you add a great deal, and these are the things you do that are above and beyond the cause. And no, yes, you could always be happier that way, but that's probably not one of the better things you want to say. I would make a list of all of the things that makes you worthwhile of having more money. And you know what? And I'd make that list, and I'd make it a long list. And I would read over it every night, every morning. These are the reasons I deserve to have more money. And you say it to the mirror. And the more you say it to the mirror, at some point in time, you'll confront this person and you'll have all of those things right at the tip of your fingers that you'll be able to say, you know, you're right, and I love it here, and I enjoy you, and I think you're a fabulous boss, but I feel I bring a lot to the table, and these are the things I bring to the table, and I think I'm worth more money. Could we talk about if you don't feel I'm worthy of it now, when I might be able to expect a raise? And
okay.
Stare her down. Yeah. I mean, the worst thing she can say is, are you crazy? And you know, and you're not crazy. But you know, I think that it's really important for you to understand that those things that make us fearful. Now, I mean, there are things that in my life that I am afraid of that I have absolutely no intention of conquering. I'm a scared of snakes. I don't want to be friends with snakes.
Yeah.
Don't want to be friends with them. So I'll hold on to that fear for this lifetime. I'll take it to the next lifetime and deal with it then. But when it comes to interpersonal relationships, when it comes to our growing, I'm going to pull Deb in. Let me see if I can find her microphone. Are you there, Deb?
I'm here.
Okay, so how do you feel about this, you know, the fact that we attract our fears so that we can deal with them?
When we stop fighting that and we actually acknowledge it, then it comes. And that just, okay, we can acknowledge them and not say that doesn't mean, like, for instance, that you have to love and cuddle every single snake out there.
Just not gonna,
you know,
not gonna snuggle any of them.
It ain't gonna happen. I got that. I'm one of these that, you know, I figure snakes have their place and I have mine, and that does not necessarily mean in the same perimeter. I don't hate them. I just aren't real warm and fuzzy about them. Yet, I have actually tried to help heal a few when they were hurt, but. But I think that's part of it. I mean, just acknowledging it, that it's there. And I think, too, that if you dwell on it, it's like anything else. You give it so much more power that it becomes bigger than life.
Right.
That's true.
You know, rather than just saying, okay, you know what? I'm not warm and fuzzy with snakes or you know, whatever. But that does not mean you have to dwell on either side of that task every moment of the day.
Okay, well, how about Linda being afraid of asking for a raise?
Well, I think that's just where, how many times are we're our own worst enemy, and we know what our fears and weaknesses and positives and challenges are, but that does not mean everybody else sees us the way we see us. They see us in a whole different light. So that it's, okay, my opinion is it's not so much that she's afraid to ask for the raise. She's afraid she'll get told of a fault she hasn't thought of.
Yeah.
But trust me, I don't think that there's a fault there. I think it's, you know, It's like my dad used to say to me, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? They can tell you no. But if they tell you the reason why and it's something you can do about it, then you erase that, and it's no longer held against you. But if you don't know about it, you can't even deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good sense.
Yeah.
I have to remind myself of that a lot. I'm just letting you know, it's not that I'm perfect on that aspect. I just have to remind myself that a lot.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. I think that once you're aware of all of these laws, you know, you do sort of every now and then stop and say, okay, what's going on here? Is one of these laws, you know, taking off on me? Is there something that I've missed? Is there something that I need to kind of work on? I wanted to ask you, while I've got you on the phone, it's the law about, not reflection, There's so damn many of these.
yes, there's quite a few.
The idiot that put all this together should have been shot.
I'm surprised she didn't shoot the person that asked her and got her started on it.
Yeah, that too. Yes, of course, then we'd be talking about nothing here, and then we'd be up a creek without a paddle. The one that I spoke about earlier, and I'm thumbing fast, the law of perpetual transmutation of energy.
Mm.
No, that's not the one I mean. I mean the one that said, you know, that we chose this life, we chose this the astrological, we chose all. I forget which one that is.
Oh, I know which one you mean. So can I beat my higher self up later when I get there?
Yes,
my high time.
Well,
I got a lot of bones to pick with my higher self.
Yeah. It's because, you know, I was trying to explain to everybody that it wasn't our personality now that made the choices. It was our spirit.
Right.
And our spirit
right.
does not have a personality.
That's right. They do, I think, but I think it's more circumvent and circumspent than ours, and maybe not quite so much, you know, fun flaws in them. But
mm-hmm.
hence, you know, the lesson. You can't figure out or learn the lessons if you already know all the answers.
Well, it's not just that. I think the lesson is not the lesson. It's the reaction to the lesson that is the lesson.
Yes, I tend to agree with you.
You know, it's kind of like we ask for circumstances to grow in certain areas, and chaos hits us. It isn't chaos that is the lesson. It's how we react to the chaos. How we react with the other people also involved in chaos. It isn't so much we ask to have a situation in which we can experience and grow. So they put us on
but
the Titanic.
But we don't want it to hurt. Well, no, really. How many times is it that way? We want it all, but we don't want the hurt that goes with it. How many people, well, this is probably a bad analogy, but we'll go with it anyway. How many people want somebody to love, but they're afraid to get hurt?
Okay. Everybody.
But the whole part of it, there are parts about being hurt, and it's how you react to that. Do you let something hurt you and tear you apart with more vengeance because you constantly think about it? Or you do you look at the situation and went, yep, that hurt, time to move on? I mean, and yeah, some hurts you're going to move away quicker than others. But but still, it even if there's a time that you say, that's it, I'm done, I'm not going to love anymore, you do after a while because you're not complete without it. Because to give it, you know, to get it, you have to give it. And that whole cycle, and it goes back to the whole cycle again. You have to, energy begets energy. You have to push the shove to get the wheel to go around. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but, I mean, it all layers into that.
Okay. How about this kind of situation? You asked for a situation in which to grow emotionally. And so your family loses all its money and you literally are out on the street. Now, the lesson is how you deal with it.
Right.
It's not that somebody, you know, did something and all the money is gone. It's how do you deal with the situation. It's the situation that is created that is the lesson. You know, it's the emotional
how I would deal with it. In other words, like how we would deal with it if, you know, we suddenly lost everything, we're out on the street. And then what do you do? Do you just sit there and I mean, not that panic wouldn't set in, but do you let it overtake you, or you say, okay, take a breath. What do I need to do? I need a job, or I need this, or I need that, or, you know, steps. Mm-hmm. I need a roof over my head, even if it's a shelter, so that I can eat and bathe and then get, so that I can either get trained or go to work. But, I mean, there's steps to it. No, they're not everything that you want, but there's steps. It's like other stuff. It's like baking a cake. There's certain steps you have to do to bake a cake, or it won't be a cake.
Absolutely.
But it's putting those steps together and taking them. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's another one. One of my neighbors, one of the kids, did something stupid and went to jail. And his situation was he was suddenly in jail. And he had a choice. He could have become angry and mean. He could have learned to be a better crook. Or he could have, you know, done classes and worked at making himself better, which he did. And he could have come out of 5 years of jail, frankly, with a better education than a lot of kids who go to college. Because
and
he
wouldn't
have
had loans to pay back.
And he didn't, yeah. But but it's how he dealt with the situation. And I think that's
right.
What people don't understand. Why is the universe doing this to me? Because I asked for it. I asked to be given this situation. It's that easy. You aren't being punished. You're being given what you asked for before you came into this lifetime. And that's what I think so many people don't understand. That, you know, whatever situation that you stumble into or stumbles into you, whichever way you want to look at it, it's there because you asked for it. And it's okay to step back and say, God, was I a jerk? And then, okay, so what am I supposed to gather from this? What am I supposed to learn? Because I want to learn it this time. I don't want to repeat this again. And you know, once you're looking at any situation that way, it diminishes the anxiety that's going on, and you're saying, okay, you know, this really sucks, but how can we make it better, and how can I deal with this so that I don't have to do this again? And that's where the big stuff is. That's where we really start learning. That's where we really start growing and you know, getting energy from stuff. That's where we gather the stuff that the spirit is here to gather. It isn't, you know, in taking the I call it the 2x4 in the face. When I see things that I think are cues from the universe, and when I don't take the hint the first or second or the third time or the fourth time, Then I get hit by a 2x4, and then it's sort of like, oh, you got my attention. Okay, now I understand what you want me to do. Why didn't you say that in the first place? And actually, they do. It's kind of that, you know, that woman that prays and prays and prays and wants to win the lottery and wants to win the lottery and wants to win the lottery, and she finally dies and goes to heaven, and she said, All I asked from you was that I win the lottery, and God said back to her, well, you have to buy a ticket.
Yep, meet me halfway, buy the ticket. Yep.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, and that's one of the things about all of these laws, about all of them. I want everybody, I want you to understand, and please try to read through all of them at least once, because we are going to depart from them next week. But understand that the thing that is the common thread that goes through all 38 of these, or 50 or 100 or a million of the laws of the universe, whatever you want to call them, the thing that is the constant in every single one of them is that you are responsible, that you have to take action, that you are the one that you know is the You're the most important part. You're the moving part. You're the one that's going to either perceive or not perceive. You are going to take action or not take action. You're going to put your toe in the water or not. But you are the person that is responsible for taking the first step and setting every single one of these at work within your reality. They're constantly out there. They're constantly moving in everybody's reality, and it's important for you to understand that you need to take responsibility and start moving forward and start growing and start reaching and start expanding your reality and your wisdom and your knowledge and your, you know, everything. But until you take responsibility for that, you'll just be buffeted by all of this. It's programming yourself to understand these. And if you don't program yourself, somebody else will program you, whether it's a parent or a teacher or a religion or a culture. You will be programmed by someone else. And you don't want that. You want to take care of that programming yourself. You want to make your own choices. And as adults, you have the responsibility to make those choices yourself. And you're not, these laws aren't meant to buffet you. They aren't meant to knock you around. They are meant to give you a rhythm of life that will be beneficial and abundant and full of joy. Because we're not here to suffer. We're here to learn, but we're not here to suffer. We're not supposed to suffer. We're supposed to enjoy this. This is supposed to be fun, guys. And you know, you can look at it as something you're struggling through, or you can perceive it as, whew, that was a challenge. Let's move on to something more fun and do that. But it's your perception. And so many of us get caught in the, oh, woe is me. Oh, my God, this is so hard. Oh, this is so difficult. Oh, my God, I can't handle this any longer. Of course you can. You would never have put something in front of you if you could not handle it or deal with it or grow from it. Totally impossible. Universe doesn't do that. That would be stupid. And the universe is not stupid. Elusive and strange, but not stupid. Not stupid. So it's important for us to understand that the stuff that comes our way has been tailor-made for us. Not for anybody else, but for us. Any situation that comes to my doorstep, I asked for. And I hope I paid for it, because, you know, I can't stretch towards any more than I'm already stretched. But ain't going to happen. But no, these, you know, and sometimes I have to look at a situation or a difficulty and say, well, that was really thoughtful. That must have taken a lot of work for somebody to figure that one out, because it's a doozy. And you know, the other side must have been busy nights trying to make all this come together so that I could have to deal with it. And if you have a sense of humor, if you have laughter in your heart, then you know what? Nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing. If you have laughter in your heart, and it's applied appropriately, of course, you know, you can deal with almost anything. But the situations that roll your way were tailor-made for you. And they may seem overwhelming, but they are absolutely not overwhelming. They may be there to test you to the very, very limit of whatever you think you are capable of, and will do that. But know that they're not meant to break you. What can be painful is if you refuse to deal with it, and then it becomes greater and greater and greater. Then it can be overpowering, but it's better to sort of take things as they come and try to deal with them and understand the message that is there and deal with them appropriately. That law of reflection is really also another one of the laws that I love, because everything that comes into your life is a reflection of something inside of you. And sometimes that one's hard to swallow. but you can't recognize it in another person if it's not in you as well. Now, it could mean that it was in you and you dealt with it, but it's still, I've seen things in other people that had been a part of my character that I chose to change ever so slightly. It's kind of nice to see what happens if you don't change them. I have a neighbor who is vicious, mean, and nasty, and the tongue that she has in her is very similar to one I had when I was much younger, and she has often tempted me into a battle, and knock on wood, I haven't decided to engage because part of me says, you know, she's no challenge. I could do better than that any in a heartbeat. But the reality is, if you don't engage, then and you move in another direction, that lesson is over with. You don't have to go through that lesson again. So it's an amazing experience this lifetime if you understand that everything is a lesson that comes your way, and how you perceive it and how you deal with it and you know what you do with it is, you know, makes or breaks the fun that you're going to have this lifetime. Deb?
Yep. No, really. It is. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I got Glenda the Good Witch coming in and going, Dorothy, you had the power all along. That reflection, you know, that mirror thing. Well, if it's a dirty mirror, clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then you're better off for it. Let's see what else. And, you know, the other line that kept hitting my head was, it takes one to know one. Well,
uh-huh.
Yeah, but let's fix that. You know, don't just keep perpetuating it, you know.
No. What about when we have disabilities or illnesses of some sort? Those are challenges. Those are big challenges. And they aren't as easy to get over as facing a fear. But I can speak, you know, I can speak disability-wise, because I had a car accident and I am now technically disabled, though I have never had more going on in my life. I think it's a matter of perception. But if it's an illness that you are struggling with of some sort, then how you struggle with it and how you understand, just how life has to change and it does change. And so long as you, I'm not saying that anybody should embrace an illness and say, I love you. But I do feel that how you deal with it, how you perceive it. I know when Patrick was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, he looked at me and said, I'm not afraid to die. And I said to him, well, that's good, but I'm not thrilled that you're going to. And he said, everybody dies sometime. My work here is done. And he said, but I have things that I have to tie up, so let's make a list so I can take care of everything that I need to pick up so that you don't have to do things. And at the same time, we went to doctors and we went for, you know, we didn't just not go to doctors, because we certainly did all that too. But he looked upon it as, okay, this is something they say is inevitable, but let me see if we can put it off as long as we can. Let's do homeopathic stuff. And we did, and we did lots of research. His way of facing this sentence that he had been given was amazing. And he never once, I never once saw him despondent or unhappy. It was always, what else can we do? Have we looked at this? And you know, we did all sorts of alternatives. We met lots of wonderful people. When hospice sent their chaplain to talk to us, he just sat here and shook his head, and he said, I can't tell you two anything that you haven't already told me. And so we had him for dinner, and we talked to him. But you know, it's how you deal with things. And I'm not saying, I mean, I know Jeannie has a hip that is not a happy hip. And she's done all sorts of cool things to sort of compensate for the things that she can't do anymore, and but will be able to once she has her new hip. But it's kind of, you either you feel sorry for yourself, or you do the best you can, and you keep going forward. You keep learning. You keep growing. You never stop learning. Never, ever, 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 ever stop learning. Growing. I can't get out and do the fairs that I did, you know, 5 years ago. So I found other things to put my energy into, and I'm learning how to be my own webmaster, and I've taken to poor Deb is going through Giants with me. I have a ton of material on Giants that is phenomenal up on my website now. And I never thought I would be able to do that. I never thought I would be able to do the research. But it's another way to learn. It's another way to grow. It's another way to be in touch with reality out there. The spiritual development class, I was frustrated because there wasn't a class out there, because I wanted some place where I could talk to other people about spiritual concepts. And I was haunted by my words to a number of people that I had read. And I had suggested something like this to them, and they said, yeah, but there's nothing out there. And I would say to them, well, if there's nothing out there, start one yourself. And I realized that that's something I had to do, so that's why all of you are sitting out here and listening. And I'm not that good an example of this, but you know, it's my own personal experience that I can put out there to show you what happens. It's important that you all understand that nothing should ever stop you. If there is a roadblock, you either take a left or a right turn, go over or under, and you don't crash into it because you get migraines that way. But if there's something standing in your way from doing something that you really feel you're supposed to do, there are other ways. There are other alternatives. Don't let anything stop you. Now, you know, and don't apply this to, you know, ridiculous stuff, but do understand that if you have an illness of any sort, if there is a disability of any sort, that's just another challenge. That's just something that says, okay, let's figure out another way of doing this. So, you know, if something is important to you, there's also another way of figuring out how to do it. And be creative, and the more creative you are, the more you open those channels, the more spiritual energy flows through you into your life, and magic happens. Magic happens all the time, and all you have to do is create the channel for it, and that's by being creative. I cannot tell you the number of times that you know, I have, you know, in my life, not lately, but in my life, where I just felt like, you know, I felt worthless, and it took having a good cry and turning around and saying, well, I'm still here, so there's got to be a reason for it, so let's get out there and make some waves and see if we can make something happen. And you can. There are my goodness, people who want to make a difference in the world, and they just say, well, I want to make a difference and I don't know how. That's ridiculous. Find a cause. If, you know, create an organization. Get out there and help people. There are lots of ways of making a difference. Sometimes you make a difference by just being a better person. Sometimes you can change a lot of lives by working in soup kitchens or volunteering your time. And if you don't have a car, you can do telephone stuff. And if you don't, you can read books onto tapes for blind people and disabled people. There's tons of stuff you can do. But the biggest thing is stop feeling sorry for yourself, because it's only a challenge. And the minute you meet the challenge, another one comes along that's even more fun. And I have found that the challenges have become more and more fun because I recognize them as challenges. They're not they're not hardships, they're challenges. And the more creative you get, the more energy you put out there of a positive nature, the more positive the stuff comes back at you. And I know there are a number of you out there that I know Jeannie's there, and her hip is giving her a terrible time, and she's not able to do as much as she normally would do, which is a good thing because she needed to rest anyhow. I think the hip just, you know, gave in so that she could catch her breath. But look at Bree. She's chasing storms, for God's sakes. And, you know, you have a choice. It's your choice. It's totally your choice. And if you choose to confront stuff, if you choose to take action, then I swear to you, the universe is behind you 100%. And sometimes, you know, you get run over because there's so much going on, and it's really, it's exciting. So that you know, it's a matter of opening yourself up to the miracles that are put, the potential is out there. We are powerful, pardon the expression, not meaning to insult anybody, gods. We have a piece of God inside of us. It's what's empowering our spirit. We are gods, and we are capable of so much. And all we have to do is believe it and embrace it. Now, walking on water is not a good idea immediately. I'm pretty sure that Jesus probably practiced on small brooks before he went off into the ocean. But you have to understand that having faith and believing is a part of the process. You know, you are a part of God. You are a God. You are capable of using so much power that you have inside of you. What is it? It said someplace, darn, I read it again. I wrote it a number of times. We only use 6% of our brain, but our brain, if we use 100% of it, it would be 20,000 times stronger than all the computers on the earth. We have the potential for being amazing. And you know, there are genetically, there are genes inside of us, there are genes inside of us that have not been activated, but they're there.
Right.
And they are,
isn't it
they
close
are,
to 2,000?
Yeah. Oh, I don't, you, well, it's probably that many. Yeah. But anyhow, one of them is regeneration. And if we can activate it, it would regrow hands and fingers and all sorts of things. I mean, the human body is an amazing thing. We just don't use it as well as we should as an avatar. It's built for 120 years, but most of us have abused it in some way, shape, or form so that it doesn't last 120 years. But you know, I don't think it's so exciting to be aware of all the potential you have and all of the things that you can do and how we have shortchanged ourselves by doubting and being fearful. Again, don't try to walk on water unless it's frozen at this point in time. But you know, enough belief and you can do anything. Enough channels open so that spirit energy flows strongly through us, and we're capable of so much more. There are those, you know, that can tune into spirits on the other side. All of us can do that. It's a matter of, are you going to open yourself to it? Are you going to do what you need to do to be able to open to that kind of energy that's inside of you? It's all there. It's just a matter of opening yourself to it, and a lot of times the opening is getting back into creativity and opening yourself up to the greater potential that you carry. We're amazing, amazing spirits, and the fact that we're all, you know, one family, the fact that we all are a part of one another, if we ever got to the point where we could work together in unison, I strongly believe that this planet could turn into a spaceship and we could take it anywhere. but it takes everybody, and we aren't there yet. But we can do our share by working on ourselves, and then working with other people that feel the same. And sooner or later, a movement. You know, it's that element of a drop creates a ripple, creates a swell, creates a wave, creates a tsunami. I mean, it's just, you have no idea what one word in the right place can do. It's friggin' awesome. It's just awesome. And every single one of you has that potential. Every single one of you has within you the capability and the potential to levitate, to work miracles, to, once you believe in yourself and you have faith in yourself and your self-esteem is upped a little bit, there are healing properties that are out there that everybody is capable of. And you don't even have to be a Reiki master to do it. All you have to do is have the faith and the belief and the intent of healing, and it works. It works amazingly well. I don't know if all of you are into Facebook. I look at it basically just for the cats, dogs, and animal stories, but and I publicize the radio shows. But I've seen a number of cases where they've had animals that were paralyzed. And through love and putting them in an apparatus where their front paws could work even though their back paws can't, I would say over half of them turned up to be able to walk because people believed in them. And they were able to run with other animals and their bodies healed and they were healed. So, you know, I'm sorry, science doesn't know it all. And the human spirit is capable of phenomenal stuff. Our mundane lives get in the way. Our mundane lives pull us down. They, you know, we have to have jobs. We have to, you know, go to work. We have to earn money. We have to buy cars and clothes and food and have a roof over our head. And sometimes that gets so overwhelming we forget the potential that we carry within us. And it's important to understand that those jobs and the mundane reality are only so that the spirit can manifest within this reality. But our spirit is not here to do those mundane jobs. Our spirit is here to be able to propel us through this reality so that we can get ready for another one, and another one, and another one, another dimension, another planet, another universe, another, I mean, my God, all those stuff that is ahead of us is just so profound, it's unbelievable. But just knowing that we're on such a journey and it's so exciting, and each lifetime is supposed to be an adventure and it's supposed to be exciting, and it's we're here because of love. So we're not here to suffer, and we're not here to be uncomfortable, and we're not here to be frightened. I think that if everybody really found their courage and faced their fears, that this would be an awesome culture. This would be an awesome species that would be ready to have a cosmic adventure. Not now, but in days and times to come. So that there is just so much for us to expand into, and it's exciting. And the minute your life stops being exciting and you stop having fun, make a change so that it becomes fun again. I know that it's a silly example, but it'll work. I I do Nightlight once a week at least, usually, and I found that people asking questions was not allowing me to grow. So I don't let people ask questions anymore. I just give them what I get. So they get the best that I have to offer, and I get to really see what the spirit inside me is capable of. And everybody is capable of that. Everybody should make the shifts and the changes in their life so that they are challenged and having fun at what they're doing. And if your job isn't challenging you, then in your non-job life, Find aspects that do challenge you. Find aspects that do open you up to the potential you carry within. And it doesn't have to be doing readings, and it doesn't have to be doing healings. If you enjoy painting, whatever it is, for God's sakes, do it. Because that's what makes the energy work in all aspects of your life. If you have joy and love and excitement about a part of your life, it spills over into all parts of your life. And if your job isn't doing it, then put it outside your job so that outside your job spills into your job, and your job is okay, it's not so bad anymore because I get to go home and do this other stuff. And it absolutely keeps, and Deb just typed in, it keeps stress down or gone, and it means that there's greater excitement in your life and that you are absolutely radiating an energy and a vibrancy and a rhythm that people are awed by, and they don't know what's so great about you, but they do know that you are so special that they just want to be around you. And it's the coolest thing ever, because the secret is all you're doing is celebrating who you are and what you are this lifetime. That's all. You are absolutely having a wonderful time and a wonderful ride, and you know, you're sharing yourself with as many people as possible, and you're joyful. And no matter what you do, no matter where you go, so long as that joy is there, you are touching millions and millions and millions of people, because every person you touch is going to feel that kick, that boost of energy. And they're going to use it in their own life in some way, shape, or form that's going to bring joy to them. You don't have to know that you're absolutely doing that. But you know, you don't have to know it. But the truth is, it is. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, if you have that joy inside of you, it rubs off on everybody. And if it rubs off on anybody, that enriches everybody's life, yours included. And not necessarily with money, but you are enriched. I tell people all the time, I'm the richest person around. I just don't happen to have any money, and that's okay, because I'd spend it the wrong place anyhow. But it's you know, it's an adventure, and it's a wonderful adventure. And I think if you can perceive it that way, you make it that way. How you perceive your life is how it becomes. So remember that. Play that over and over. How you perceive it is how it becomes. You perceive it. Your spirit, your consciousness, that God part of you, takes that etheric energy, and it helps to create the reality you are perceiving. And it works every time. It works all the time. And you just have to really, the perception has to be genuine. It has to be sincere. If you've ever listened to any show I've ever done, when someone says, how are you, I always say fabulous. Even if I'm not, I say I am, because by the end of the evening, I am. It is amazing, because if you say it enough and you say it with enough conviction, you become it. Now, not going to be Miss Teenage America, no matter how many times I say it. But maybe Miss Grandmother, you know. But no.
Bringing that up, too, I just had this pop into my head, is there is a sound vibration connection to the body, the etheric, the brain, the whole, all those different layers. Mm-hmm. And if you say it out loud with conviction, the rest of you hears it. And I don't know how else to explain it any other way.
Well, no, it's true. And I can truly remember times when I didn't feel well, that I had said, I'm fabulous. And you know what? It just started to be fabulous. And by the time the evening was over, I was just so cranked that I couldn't sleep for hours. It does work.
Like if you're not feeling your best, put on one of your favorite outfits and I don't mean it has to be a dress outfit, but the outfit that makes you feel good and powerful. Everybody's got mm-hmm. one. It might be, they might feel, you know, 10 foot tall and bulletproof in their favorite, you know, jeans and sweatshirt. But, mm-hmm. I mean, or it might be a power suit, you know, but I'm just saying, whatever it is, put that on. The energy transfers. Put on a song. You know, music can change your vibration and your mood like crazy.
Absolutely.
Put on
I have music. Mm-hmm. It's called Hooked on Phonics. It's called Hooked on Classics. And it was originally done by the Boston Pops. And they played everything in a beat that just you could not you were jumping with it. It was just amazing. And I used to put it on when I had to clean because I got my cleaning done faster than, of course it wasn't that great, but I don't clean well. But you were just bouncing with the music. You couldn't help it. And that helps too. I mean, it's just it's amazing the ways that you can, the tools that are out there for us to change and to grow and expand and evolve. It's just, it's phenomenal. So I just noticed the time. Next week, we're going to be dealing with karma and dharma, and they are not twin sisters. But you may think it. I will send the material out Sunday evening for you. Yes, dharma, karma and dharma. Yes, Jean. And how we work with them within our lives on our spiritual journey. Don't forget the blog is out there for those of you that want to leave comments for each other or put your thoughts out there. It's barbaradelong.blogspot.com called Spiritually Yours. And we'll be here tomorrow going over the same material, 1 p.m. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. Going to let Cindy Jordan play us out with Green Sleeves, another one of my most favorite songs. I wish I had stuff like Chris does, but don't have that kind of switchboard. So thank you for coming, everybody. And I'll see you next week. Thank you. Thank you, Deb, too.
Sure thing. My pleasure.